Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all and your Valkyrie friends to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we are going to talk with three of the tastemakers of Columbus, three of the leading arts administrators here in town. They are getting together to collaborate on a program called Twisted Two, which will open at the Ohio Theater this coming Thursday, the 22nd, and run through the weekend. And I'm going to let them tell you what it is as I introduce Pavana Stecic, who is the general manager of the Columbus Symphony. Peggy Kriadai is the artistic director of Opera Columbus. And Edward Liang is the artistic director of Ballet Met. So we have three skinny but heavy hitters here joining us for today's program, talking about Twisted Two. Edward Liang, what is Twisted Two?
Twisted Two is really just a celebration of arts in Columbus. The production is a review model, so it's taking all the best and the, I guess I would say, the big hits of classical music and reinventing it.
It is something, if you were in the audience, is my understanding, it's going to be something to see, hear, and feel. Every sense is probably going to be engaged. Now, Peggy Kriadai, I played a bit of The Ride of the Valkyries by Wagner introducing us in, because that is the stereotype that everybody has about the lady with the horns, et cetera, on her head, the big, big ladies running around. And in fact, you are performing The Ride of the Valkyries in Twisted Two, but Edward Liang, boy, are you doing it differently. I don't know who I'm going to ask first. I'm going to ask Peggy first to give us a preview of that.
Of that piece?
Yeah.
Well, we chose that piece because that is recognizable to most adults, because it's the theme from Bugs Bunny, you know, the whole kill the rabbit. It's that one. Or, oh, Brunhilde, I love. It's that. So a lot of people recognize the Valkyries. And so that's why we picked it, not to mention it is an epic piece of music. So who doesn't want to hear it? And we wanted everyone to recognize
it. Yes, but you don't have eight large women cavorting around yelling.
No.
You have some very svelte, gorgeous
singers. I have beautiful singers.
And Edward Liang, I saw, actually, I crashed one of your rehearsals. You don't know this. of the choreography for this. And I saw eight or a number of very stacked young men who are, and I'm thinking, where are the Valkyries? And and it was a dance rehearsal only, so that the women weren't there, the singers weren't there, and I'm guessing the men are going to be tossing the women, the Valkyries, around or something like that.
Vice versa, I think. I think it's vice versa.
I think it's a little bit of everything, but you know, Matthew Neenan, he's a very world-renowned choreographer. What I love about his choreography and his interpretation for this epic piece of music is that it's so inventive. It's brand new. It's everything that I think Twisted is all about.
Baloney is sexy, Edward. Let's get to it, okay?
That's
it
true.
I saw it.
That's
yes.
True.
It is.
It's a very, very... Anyway, speaking of sexy in the Columbus Symphony, Pavana Stecic, the symphony is the one constant in the whole show. Not everything is sung, not everything is danced, as I understand it. Some is some A, some B, but the orchestra is always there. It's a big program. It's a lot of music.
Yes,
Russin Milanov, the music director, is, of course, the conductor. Now, as I understand it, will the orchestra be on stage? How's this going to work out?
The orchestra is on stage. We're not in the pit. Usually we work throughout the year with the opera and the ballet, and at those times we're usually in the pit, although not always. The whole orchestra is on the stage and an integral part of every piece that happens. So we're excited to be involved.
But you have music of Haydn, you have Goretzky, you have Schoenberg, Ravel, Bizet, Smetana. How did the program come about? Who wants to answer that first? There's a wide range of music here and a wide range of talents being used. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Okay, I'll answer that one. Rossin and I got together multiple times about a year ago now, and kind of just talked through the pieces that we love. I mean, that's the great thing about choosing the program, is you can pick pieces that are personal to you and that we love. And then we wanted to make sure it had a good flow and a good variety, that it was music that would challenge the musicians, that it was danceable. So Edward would look at the list and comment on that aspect to it. And I had to pick repertoire that suited the kind of singers that were able to sustain all different kinds of repertoire all night long. So it's a bit of a, you know, chess game a little bit to try to get all the exact pieces together to form this program. It's pretty tricky.
There truly is something for everybody. There's a lot of energy in a lot of these pieces, but there's some lovely and especially magnificent contemplative pieces like the Goretzky, the Sorrowful Song Symphony, which, by the way, had off-the-charts status when it was first published about 10 years ago, and the pop stations couldn't play it often enough. It had a weird crossover. So people are going to know that even if they don't realize they've heard it before. Pavani, you have, the symphony, I know, plays very different programs almost every weekend during the symphony, which means a lot of rehearsal and a lot of repertoire to keep in the head. How long ago did you all begin working on this program?
The musicians?
Yeah.
Or as soon as they wanted to pick up their music, but probably within the last couple of weeks. And then the first rehearsals are next week with everybody. Excuse me. So they'll come in on Tuesday, and we work magic Tuesday and Wednesday, and Thursday night we open.
And Thursday night you open. Tell me a little bit about the idea behind Twisted. This was done – Twisted 1, I guess you call it, was done 2 years ago. And, Edward, I think the first time I ever heard about Twisted was from you 2 years ago. So tell me about how this came about, how the idea of this kind of collaboration came about, and what you wanted to achieve.
I think that the best collaborations really start just – by conversation and organically. I had a conversation with Bill Connor and
who's the CEO of Kappa.
Yes. And Peggy. And we met for after work drinks and appetizers. And just that's the first time I met Peggy Credi. And we just, this was my second week in Columbus. And I think that Peggy just started in her new role. And we were talking about how we could collaborate, how we could work together. And I just kind of pitched them an idea of why don't we put everybody on stage? Let's find some sort of production or a medium that we can get everybody on stage. And it's really can be a big... We didn't really know how it was going to come about.
Well, you were inventing it as you went along, probably.
Absolutely. And we were scared to death. At first, we were wanting to have some sort of a storyline, a play that collaborated with all this music and dancers. And we realized being a producer and a new producer that this kind of work takes years in the making.
You did it in a few months, really.
Well, at least with the... with the play model, it was going to be really hard. But with the review model that we have and really taking the greatest hits and all the pieces of music that we love and putting it on stage. But truthfully, we didn't really know exactly what it was going to look like, it was going to sound like. We just hope that it landed and it resonated with the community.
There was a great deal of expectation and excitement on the audience side of the Footlights 2 years ago. It was quite palpable. People, and I also have to tell you that every performance you probably couldn't see because you were on stage was very crowded. There was a lot of crowds there, and people weren't sure what to expect. But there was a great deal of excitement, and there were a lot of aha moments. But looking at this program, I think if you saw Twisted 2 years ago, you haven't seen Twisted 2. They're apples and oranges. They're both fruit. They're both wonderful, but they're different. And I think that really, if you want to see the riches of what Columbus has in terms of the performing arts in one sitting, this is a great way to get a sample of that, to be there opening Thursday and running through the weekend at the Ohio Theater. Again, Russin Milanov, the music director of the Columbus Symphony, Peggy Creatai from Ballet Met, from Opera Columbus, and Edward Liang from Ballet Met, Pavana Stesic from the Symphony. How do you all get together without killing each other?
We're already dead. These are our guests here today. you know, with any group of artists, there are times of strain and you work through it because we all do get along. And they've been great partners through the process, and we send lots of emails, and working a lot with the folks at Ballet Met have been great as far as trying to coordinate schedules, trying to coordinate artists, trying to coordinate union contracts. There are a lot of rules that have to be followed, and our rules are different. And so there's a lot that goes into that. But everyone, you know, you'll have your little moment of tension and it resolves and we're all here in the end.
I've often said that if you want a sort of an adrenaline rush that's healthy, if you're having it down in the dumps day, go walk through the corridors of Ballet Met on any given day and just look at what goes on, because people have no idea that they walk by. They think, oh, you know, we go see them at 8 o'clock at night in the theater and they're gorgeous and they're dancing. But, you know, what it takes to get there is day in and day out, stretching and running and depressingly slim in shape people doing amazing things at Ballet Met. Peggy Creadie, now, also, you were an integral part of the first Twisted Part A 2 years ago. Was it what you expected? Did you have any expectations before the first performance of that? And is it coloring where you're coming from now with this?
Well, I was confident that the dancers were going to be amazing and that their performance would carry the show. I knew that the music would be beautiful. I was very confident in my singers' ability and their talents and their techniques and their stagecraft. So I didn't quite know, once it was all intertwined and twisted together, how it would read. I wasn't totally sure.
Did any of you get to see it? I know, because working. Did get to see it. Okay.
Yeah. So every night.
So being in the audience, then, what were you surprised?
I was taken back by the energy of the audience.
Told you.
Things that we see. You know, we see every single detail. We pay attention to it, but it was amazing how much the audience saw every detail and how they could react to it. You know, you just hope like 50% of what you're creating resonates to where they can really tell and catch on to what we're doing. And I feel like I really underestimated the power of that performance and the involvement of the community. I really underestimated it. And it was a wonderful surprise. And yes, we walked away from that saying, okay, this really worked. How can we enhance that? How can we make it bigger?
And any great differences in concept? I know that obviously the program is different, but any great differences in how you want to do it this year as opposed to what was done before?
Yeah, I think there were two big changes this year that I see. Other than being more twisted together, I feel like everybody's more integrated. We invited 5 more organizations this time. I know. I've never said that without laughing.
And they're all having fun, I must tell you. They're all having a good time. Even if you're not, they're having a good time.
No, we are having fun. We are having fun. It's a bit of a logistical challenge, but it is so much fun. The energy, we have 4 kids organizations. Right. So we did that on purpose. We wanted that energy, and we wanted to show.
You got it.
We wanted to show Columbus, you know, this is what you have now in your performing arts. This is what you have now in your what we can offer your children, but this is what's going to take our place down the road. These are your local artists of the future. And that's a huge element. And then the other one is WOSU has become a very big partner in this show. And we have 3 film elements that they have created for us.
Hold that thought. We have to take a break. We'll come right back. Don't go away. We'll have more with Peggy Creadie, with Edward Liang and Pavana Stetsik talking about Twisted 2 opening at the Ohio Theater next week. Don't go away. That's a little hysteria from Rossini's The Barber of Seville. It's very, very difficult to do hysteria in music. Rossini does it very well. So do my 3 guests. Peggy Creadie, the artistic director of Opera Columbus, Pavana Stetsik, the general manager of the Columbus Symphony, and Edward Liang, the artistic director of Ballet Met. They are all working together to produce Twisted at the Ohio Theater next week, which is a collaboration of all their organizations and apparently 5 more, including 4 involving children and WOSU. Peggy Creadie, let me turn it back to you.
About WOSU, but our film elements, of which you play a big part, Christopher. We thank you for that.
Don't look.
You were hosting for us live, which you still do, but we wanted to do just a different medium of art in the show. And so these film elements will provide that. And they each focus on the community in some way.
We have, well, I won't give it away then.
I don't know if we can give it away or not.
No, make them pay. Make them come. Why not? You know, come on. So Edward Liang, twisted was a word that when you first described this to me 2 years ago, when it was still in the discussion phases, it was a term that you were using a great deal, and I wasn't really sure what you meant. I sort of know now, having seen it, but could you really just verbalize for us what the term twisted means in terms of this performance?
I think that we stayed with the term twisted because we could really integrate all three organizations. The premise is that we wanted to think outside the box. There have been different performances nationally where the symphony and the opera and the ballet performed together, but they've never really interacted at all. And that was really my passion, is to create something that was more integrated, more twisted, more where it challenged my dancers to think outside the box, it challenged the singers to think outside the box, and that it challenged the symphony to play a huge repertoire in one evening. Yeah. So
look at Bavana's going, yeah, yeah,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
yes.
It is really, our aim was high. Our aim was for quality. Our aim was for a real collaboration. It was not just to tick off a box of collaboration where, you know, I think a lot of people talk about collaboration. It's such a big word right now. And
a lot of people talk about that and they have no idea what they're talking about when they say that, because yeah. It's just a buzzword. But you're getting there with what you're describing, certainly.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that the truth is that if you don't aim as high and as ambitious as we do, is that there's no way of really going for it and creating great art. And that's why we're here, and that's why what we want for the community, for all our organizations, for all our constituents, our board, our big fans, our subscribers, the next generation. So it's a really ambitious, holistic way of looking at celebrating arts in Columbus.
Not forgetting that as marvelous as Twisted 2 is, you each have seasons of your own that are just getting underway. The symphony never really stops because you do the summer pops and the commons, and you may take a month off, but really, I mean, there is still stuff going on. The Columbus Symphony has Verdi's Requiem at the end of October, which is another big Twisted collaboration.
Yes.
Because it has the magnificent Columbus Symphony Chorus.
Yes.
And is a show that will blow the roof off the Hyatt Theater. Plus, you know, a huge pop series. You have a classical series. You have a lot going on.
We have a lot.
In the theater in the next 10 months. And you also do run-out concerts. You do educational concerts. So, and again, that's a lot of things that the general public may not see, but it certainly does go on. So what do you do for fun, Pavana?
I work. And it's fun. It's definitely fun. I just wanted to add, you know, with a program that's this diverse, and with the orchestra having had almost a couple months off since the summer season from the orchestra world primarily, it's a great way to jump back in full guns and really get your feet wet with a lot of repertoire. So it's a great way to kick off a season for us.
It just occurred to me, having the orchestra on stage is probably part of what you meant by twisted, because if they're down in the pit, that really doesn't work for that. That's a different kind of a thing, right?
Absolutely.
So
yes.
How is it for the musicians and the maestro and for you having the orchestra on stage in the midst? And is this whole twisted concept working for the orchestra?
It takes,
and you can say no if you want.
it works. We make it work. We're all partners. It's we're placed back from the front of the stage a bit more than we normally would to allow space for the dancers and the singers. But we've done some of that with the opera in the past seasons. Mm-hmm. We've done a little bit on stage. And so we've done a bit of that, and we can adapt. Obviously, things are different acoustically, and we work with all of that to make sure it's coming across to the audience as it should.
Making the point that 95% of your concerts, the orchestra's on
stage. It's on stage, right. Yeah, so this isn't terribly different.
But except you're sharing the space now with people who do need to have make specific moves, and there's choreography, there's blocking, and there's things like that. So
yes. We're a little compressed.
Well, it's a little compressed, but it's good compressed. And then how many children, Peggy? You said there are
I want to say nearly 70. Wow. Nearly 70.
In what age range? And what are they doing? What kind of children's organizations?
They're singing, they're moving, they're dancing. All those things.
We have the Columbus International Children's Choir,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, Columbus International Children's Choir.
Hello, Tatiana,
Choir,
yes.
About 45. We have Columbus Children's Choir. We have a beautiful soprano soloist from that.
Yeah.
We have the Ballet Met Academy, and we have a group from Momentum, which is so fun.
Momentum, that's Monica Kreidler's group
that
dances in schools all over the area. So,
that's right. You know, I have to go back to the symphony, though. One thing we were able to do, thanks to the Columbus Arts Prize, is we were able to elevate them. So they're not just flat in the back. They are a visual. Yeah, there's
the entire orchestra.
They're tiered
up. Like a
Busy
Berkeley movie. That's before your time, but I remember that where they were sort of up in the electric violins up on tiers and rods.
Yes,
and things like
it's a symphonic rock concert, and we are pulling out a couple of musicians from their regular positions. Like many, actually, I think they were pulling out at different times, three different times.
Yes.
A total of about 10 musicians.
And Edward, you told me some of your dancers are going to sing.
Yes.
In the grand finale, we'll leave that away. You have to come because you don't want to miss this. But they're going to be singing with the huge choirs of children and the vocal soloists and everybody else. Do you have, Edward, as you're working, a part of the program that's especially dear to your heart that you really personally are connected to?
I think that, you know, this whole the repertoire is really epic. It's fabulous. There's so many pieces of music that touches my heart personally. And what's great about it is that there's so much variety. There's moments where it's comical and it's humorous, it's effervescent. And then there's parts that are just big, joyous. And then there's parts that are heartbreakingly beautiful. And it, you know, I think that with Twisted, it goes back to everything that I believe in, is that with so much that's going on in the world, I really believe that beauty can save this world. I think art can make such a huge difference. And what I saw, and I think what all of us saw with Twisted One, is that the audience and the artists left the Ohio Theater after the evening completely re-energized, reinvigorated, and impassioned.
I'll tell you what they were saying, because I was talking to them. They were saying, we didn't know this stuff existed. That's what a lot of them were saying.
Wow.
We've seen and heard this for the first time. You got a lot of lights go on, which was a wonderful thing, and I suspect that's going to happen again. Again, Twisted 2 opens Thursday night at the Ohio Theater and repeats Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go online and get tickets to Ticketmaster, Kappa.com, Columbus Symphony. You can get tickets. Call up Pavan on the phone. She'll give you comps. we're talking to Pavan Ostecic, the general manager of the Columbus Symphony, Edward Liang, the artistic director of Ballet Met, and Peggy Kriadai, the artistic director of Opera Columbus. If you'd like to get in the conversation, we've got a few minutes left, 614-292-8513. If you want to talk arts with the three prime movers and shakers in town, they are here. 614-292-8513. Bouquets only, sweetness and love only. Emails allsides@wosu.org. Pavana, give us a little more of a preview of the upcoming Columbus Symphony season. I mentioned the Verdi. What else is to look forward to?
Oh, wow. We've got several festival-type programs coming up. We have a Beethoven Marathon, which will have lots of Beethoven. A Last Notes Festival. We are continuing our subject matter series, partnering with Ohio State University professors. We are continuing our series at the Art Museum, Mozart to Matisse, where our musicians are playing chamber music, partnering with works of art in the museum. So lots of good things. And I want to include that Christopher is going to be continuing to do our pre-concert lectures. And for Twisted, he will be doing that the hour before each show, except for Sunday.
Except for Sunday, because people sleep late. So
and,
that's right.
And we want to add that the artistic leadership will be joining Christopher one each evening.
If they behave themselves.
If they behave themselves.
Yes. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
That rules out me.
I think that's wonderful because it's a chance for the audience to meet these folks,
yes,
and to really hear what their vision is and really know more about what goes on past Twisted Two. Because as I said, there are seasons that are continuing. But one of my favorite things the symphony is doing now is, well, there are two. One is this, they are deconstructing one specific piece. And I went to one, I think it was Beethoven's Fifth, and I couldn't get in, you know. And
right.
Generally, I know where the back, excuse me, but I couldn't get in, which was it was mobbed. It was a great thing. And then he did it with, what happens is that the conductor comes out and explains the piece, and they break it down into sections and then play the whole thing. Is that in a nutshell?
That is it, in a nutshell. And our first one is part of the Beethoven Festival. We will be tearing apart Beethoven 7.
Get there early.
Get there okay? early.
Right. Get
well,
there
we're
early.
In the We're in the Ohio Theater,
that, so
there's plenty
better.
Of room, but
even so,
still get there early.
Get there early. And Bill Connor says you can bring drinks to your seat.
Yes, so, you can.
Yes, you can. You can snack in your seat. Edward, give us a little preview of what's coming up. Is coming up with Ballet Met this season?
Well, you know, Twisted is really about celebrating kicking off the season altogether. Mm-hmm. And 2016-17 season is probably the most ambitious season and programming that I've had since I've been here. And so we, right after Twisted, we have a triple bill, and it's called Night and Day, a collection of short ballets. And it's three ballets that are what I would say huge, huge ballets that most big ballet companies do. And we're putting them all together in one evening. So it's Serenade from Balanchine, Val Canaparelli's Lumberina, and then a ballet I did called Murmurations for Houston Ballet. Then we That's in one night at the Ohio Theater.
Glad
that's
I can't
October.
Dance.
October. But then we go and tour and go to the Detroit Opera House for Nutcracker. We come back for 17 shows of Nutcracker here in Columbus. Then we open in February for Peter Pan, which is Michael Pink's amazing, amazing production of Peter Pan. And it was already filmed for PBS many years ago, but this will be the first time that Columbus gets to see this. Then we have Art in Motion in March, where we're bringing Tony Award-winning choreographer Christopher Wheeldon and his ballet called Fool's Paradise. We're bringing back 18 plus ones. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was such a smash hit that we're bringing it back. And then a brand new work by me. And it's going to be raining on stage the whole time.
Well, good. We'll all get wet. That'll be fun.
We close with a huge production of Romeo and Juliet.
Talk about with Prokofiev's music?
Yes.
That's something, right, that everybody's going to know and love. And how many dancers are on your payroll now?
This season, there's 26 dancers, and there's 6 Ballet Met 2 dancers. What's great about it is that Ballet Met Academy is 1,700.
I was going to ask you that. That's
oh
a lot of kids.
It's huge.
Right. And you have 3-year-olds.
Yes, 3 to 92, I think.
Right.
But we also have about 26 trainees, and it's growing. So when I first got here, it was 17. Now it's 26. So what is great is that we're able to use some of these academy dancers and young artists for not only Nutcracker, Peter Pan, Romeo and Juliet, but also Serenade. And Serenade was the first ballet that Balanchine made in the United States, and it was made for students. And every single day, he had different numbers of students that came in. So if you look at the ballet, each scene had different numbers. It was whoever showed up.
Hmm. Well, okay. I mean, if I show up, there'd be no show. But that's it. And Peggy, you have a very sexy gypsies, and you have a seraglio coming up mm-hmm. for us. Can you just give us a précis of that?
Sure. Well, as soon as we close here, we start rehearsals for our Opera on the Edge series. We're doing about 25 performances of a 1 hour in English $10 opera of La Boheme at Shadowbox Live.
Does she still die?
I just can't say. I can't
okay.
give it away. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know how opera is.
Still
but,
weepy.
Yeah.
I hope it's wonderful. Yes. Okay.
So we're doing that all over town and in bars and in interesting places. So look for us there. It also, 16-17 season marks our first season celebrating our collaboration with the Juilliard School. So we get to bring in stars from the ADOS program, a specialized opera training program, some of which are in the Metropolitan Opera Lindemann program as well. And they'll come to Columbus and make a role debut, and we get to help launch their careers. And the first one is in January. We're doing The Abduction from the Seraglio by Mozart, but we have a twist to it. Our Belmonte, the lead, our Juilliard artist, Miles McKinnon, is actually James Bond.
Aha! Okay. Yes. So, right.
And we have film in this. We've got Momentum Kids. We've got Gymnast Ninjas. And, you know, this opera isn't done that often, partly because it's so difficult to sing.
It's very difficult to
and
sing.
And our lead four singers are amazing. And I would never do the show if I didn't have singers like that to place in these roles. So that's going to be pretty exciting.
So it's James Bond's operatic debut, I would think. I don't think he's
think
been in
right.
opera before.
I yes. think you're right. It's hilarious. Yes. We brought in a really clever, clever conductor, just performed in San Francisco Opera.
And you have Carmen coming up too, is that
Carmen
right?
Carmen is unique because it's an all-women's artistic team, the conductor, the director, the producer, and the choreographer. So we're celebrating women's leadership with Carmen being an amazing women's character in all of opera. It's probably the most recognizable.
That'll be interesting because Carmen, I think, is misunderstood by men who direct her a lot. So it'll be very interesting as a
character.
They
make her into something she just isn't.
Not.
And Ballet Met 2 is in that show with us.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. We have 90 seconds to go. Each of you, sell Twisted. Go.
Please come.
Why should I come?
It's going to change your life. It's gonna invigorate you. It's going to inspire you. It's gonna do everything that we. It's gonna cook you dinner.
It's gonna be perfect.
Wow,
Pavana Stetic.
It's just an incredible arts experience all around.
And Peggy Kriya Dai.
Bring your kids. Bring a date. Bring your parents. Bring your friends. It is a perfect night out together.
Living or dead, bring them. They're going to have a great time. Twisted 2 is a collaboration between Ballet Met, the Columbus Symphony, and Opera Columbus. It opens this coming Thursday at the Ohio Theater and runs through the weekend. It is not to be missed. I do thank you very much, Edward Liang from Ballet Met, Pavana Stetsik, the Columbus Symphony, and Peggy Kriya Dai from Opera Columbus, as always. Thank you. We are back in 90 seconds with Aaron Hoppe from VSA Ohio, Very Special Arts, talking about their upcoming conference on the arts and autism. Don't go away. We are back. I am delighted to welcome to the program Aaron Hoppe, who is the executive director of VSA Ohio, which once upon a time, just so you know, was known as Very Special Arts Ohio. But now it's VSA Ohio, the State Organization on Arts and Disability. I welcome you and always glad to have you here.
Thank you. It is always great to be here.
One of the reasons I asked you to come was because you have a big event coming up next Tuesday, which is being housed at the Columbus Museum of Art. This is your Arts and Autism Conference. You call it Creating, Learning, and Living. You are the statewide organization on the arts and disability, and you have done a great deal for the autistic community. So let's talk about the conference. What's going on?
Let's do it. It's going to be a really exciting day. It's going to be a time where people who are interested in the arts and autism are intersecting and coming together and talking and learning from each other. I think that's one of the most important things for our field and to advance the fields forward to increase access is to actually get the people doing the work together so that those ideas can spark and carry forward. So we're really hoping it's a platform for information sharing, networking, and brand new ideas. Who knows what will happen?
If you've met one person with autism, then you've met one person with autism. This is an enormous spectrum. You have people who you would never know, and you have people who have some challenges and everything in between. So you're cutting yourself quite a wide task here when you house or host a symposium, a meeting for people on the spectrum and their friends and the people who work with them. What is the relation, at least in the state of Ohio, between the arts and autism?
I think it's growing. Absolutely. It's growing on the side of arts organizations and cultural organizations and other community spaces that want to be more inclusive and are trying, but need the information and need to know how to make adaptation so that they are reaching that wide spectrum. And I think that the autism field is, I think for many years, they've known, you know, they feel and they've seen how the arts can make a difference in the lives of someone with autism, from communicating to expression to learning, to all of these, to therapies, music therapy, drama therapy, all of these different, all these academic gains, but also all of these social gains. You know, we hear from parents all the time. My son was finally able to communicate what he really wanted to say through his artwork. And I think those relationships between the two are growing. And it's a big awareness issue. And to know, if I'm in Akron, who do I reach out to on both sides? As a parent of somebody with autism, who do I call for accessibility resources in the arts? And on the art side, how do we go find partners who will bring their families and who will come to the events?
Who are some of the people who are going to be at the conference presenting either panels or discussions?
Sure. We're very excited. We did a call for proposals this year. Last year, it was sort of a pre-programmed thing that we put together. Had an amazing turnout of proposals. So we've got people from all over the country actually coming to Ohio. We've got people from Florida who's coming to do a puppet show, a puppet therapy. We have the center.
Puppet therapy.
I'm excited to sit in and hear it.
Sure.
Yeah. We have the Center for Applied Drama and Autism coming down from Akron. They just produced The Glass Menagerie through the Prism of Autism. So they're all autistic cast will be coming. Oh, not their whole cast, but they're going to show their new performance. We have teachers who are talking about the Franklin County Board of Developmental Disabilities is talking about one of their students, the boy who only liked red, but they moved beyond it through a process of different therapies. We have Ben Shinneberry from the Dick and Jane Project, who does a really cool partnership with young kids with autism and music musicians. And they create songs together. They produce them. They get them on the radio. They have an amazing program together. I can keep going.
Give me one more because this is too good.
Sure. We have Introduction to Clay, which is a partnership between Sun Apple Studio at Franklin County Board of DD and Bear Clay Studio, which is up in the North Clintonville area. And they've worked together for a long time and have really begun to train their artists in this Dayhab program, who are now teaching clay as well. They're makers and teachers, so that they're going to come and talk.
Who are the people who should, I should actually invite people to get in the conversation. If you'd like to know more information, if you'd like to talk with Erin Hoppe, she's here, the executive director of VSA Ohio. The number is 614-292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org, and we'll get your comments to Erin. We're talking specifically right now about next Tuesday's Arts and Autism Conference being held at the Columbus Museum of Art, sponsored by VSA Ohio, the state organization for arts and disability. Who should come to this conference next Tuesday?
I'll refrain from saying everyone.
Okay.
That's a little too broad. Parents and family members and guardians of individuals with autism. Individuals with autism should come. We've taken a lot of steps to try and make it a very sensory-friendly experience.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit. Talk a little bit about that, because the museum is magnificent and beautiful. I can see how sometimes a person on the spectrum might get overwhelmed. So talk about that a little, if you
Absolutely.
Can.
Absolutely. Public spaces are a big deal. And we actually have Michael Bongiorno coming to do our keynote to talk about designing spaces for different needs. So we have definitely set aside quiet spaces that are dedicated where folks can just go and decompress if they need to. We did a lot of, you know, are you gluten-free? We're definitely meet your dietary needs. That a lot of individuals with autism have different needs. We're doing this really cool thing called Color Code How You Feel. So we have green, yellow, and red slips of paper that you can stick in your name tag. And if you put red, the idea is don't really want to talk to anyone right now. Yellow is, yeah, I could probably talk to you, but let's approach with ease. And green is, yes, I'm open to conversation right now.
Can you get me a stack of those? I walk around right now. I know a lot of people. That's wonderful. That's a marvelous idea. And it's an obvious idea, but one would never think of that.
I hadn't. I actually went to the Multiple Perspectives Conference that Ohio State hosts last year. And one of their keynotes was she was an autistic advocate, and this was her jam. It was her idea. And so all the good ideas come from other people. So we're very excited to use it.
I want to make the point that VSA Ohio services all kinds of communities, not just the autism community, but there's a great deal that there's, again, within a spectrum, another huge spectrum. How do you do it all? What kind of focus is required for the organization to really, as I know you have in the last 4 or 5 years, get out there and serve?
It is a lot of coffee and a lot of collaboration. It really is. Edward was talking about collaboration earlier, and it is just finding people who are interested, inviting them to be at the table, you know, keeping them at the table, letting those ideas run within reason, and hearing what the different sides, what all sides have to say, and how can we meet their different needs. A lot of the different collaborators have accessibility and inclusion as part of their strategic plans, or, you know, in the nonprofit world, that's certainly in the arts. We want as many people to come to our spaces as possible.
And it can be as question as, I mean, how many steps to get into your space?
Right.
I mean, is it hard to get in there? Is it, the museum is not hard to get into because they've been very good about that. But
it's good now.
Good now with the renovation. But I would think that you have to sit there with a blank page and really make every possible list of challenges that you might not even for yourself think of. So I guess listening is important. What is the autistic community telling you about what they need?
They need people who want to welcome them to their space, people who are willing to try new things, and they might not succeed the first time, but who are willing to keep trying and keep working. I think it's really so much we as creatives can make accommodations. We can think outside the box. If any field is ready for this, the arts and culture field can do this. So it's really, you know, it's a lot of attitudes. Are we making the space and the time and making it a priority for this, and realizing that these accommodations can be helpful for everyone. Like you said, I wouldn't mind walking down the street with a color code. Please don't talk to me. You know, so when we're making our spaces,
Better than glaring at people, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right. When somebody makes a social story for their space, which is the idea of visual description of how you get into a space. You know, this is where you'll park. This is the front door. This is who will take your ticket. Very few words, lots of pictures to prepare somebody with autism to come. You know, there's a lot of galleries that are hard to find, or people who don't know where to park, or who don't come because they're not sure what to wear, or, you know, all of these different perceptions of barriers. So if I've never been somewhere, but they have a social story, boy, I like to prepare myself before I go somewhere and drive around. So what these institutions are doing are really going to open the doors for a lot of different people.
With the increasing diagnoses of autism, I think it's 1 in 50-something births now. I mean, you're going to have a workforce in the next 10 or 15 years, many of whom are on the spectrum, many of whom, you know, are people who need to be and can be gainfully employed. If the person who's doing the hiring gets with the program a little bit and understands what maybe slight adjustments here and there, but it's going to have – my feeling is it's going to happen because of the explosion, you know, the more diagnoses, et cetera,
more and more
people. You know, this is going to be the workforce well into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. What role do you see VSA Ohio having in preparing us to meet that workforce and really take the best advantage of it?
Right. And that workforce is going to have a huge amount of skills.
Right.
A range
Absolutely.
Of skills that can be applied in so many different ways. There are so many different good, great things that individuals with autism can bring. And that's why this conference last year was sort of focused on the younger ages, educators, things like that. This year, we really wanted to cross the lifespan. You know, let's think about, we have, for example, ShopWorks Theater coming, which is an adult theater program for people with disabilities, including autism. So, yeah, let's talk about transition. Let's talk about as we get older into careers. Certainly, VSA Ohio on our own does careers work. We do workshops and try to do consultations with individual artists to help them with their portfolios, things like that. But it's going to be on us to find the people that are doing it well and connecting. We do a lot of connecting at VSA Ohio, putting hands together. So if we know that somebody is interested in the culinary arts, by all means, I'm going to connect them with Food for Good Thought in Clintonville, which is a gluten-free bakery, which serves individuals who are of working age.
A lot of people on the spectrum follow gluten-free diets.
They do.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is a need right there. So if I'm a person on the spectrum or if I'm a person affected by some kind of challenge, and I don't know what to do next, and I call up VSA Ohio, what can you do for me? Why am I calling you?
I'm going to ask you, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to be meaningfully employed, and maybe I'm good with computers.
You're good with computers.
A lot of people on the spectrum are very good with computers.
Sure. So. And there's a lot of digital artists that are, you know, and
yes.
comic books and things like that that are really coming
together. Gaming, yes.
Yeah, gaming. Actually, we have a young man who is a producer or a composer, and he does a lot of composing for what he hopes will be part of video games, the background noise to video games. So he'll be at the lunch keynote talking about how the arts are important to him. So I would, you know, find out, you know, where they live. I would find out, in addition to computers, what else are you interested in? I'd direct them to our career workbook on our website to sort of assess their interest.
Oh, you have a tool like that.
We
That's
do,
great.
Yeah,
okay.
For anyone who's interested in a career. And then I would look through my Rolodex, even though we don't have them anymore, and see who I know who could be of a resource, whether it's a space like Food for Good Thought or whether it's a museum that I know is interesting, you know, who does good work. The Columbus Zoo does really great work with their volunteers and things like that to accommodate a lot of different needs. So I'm going to try to connect them with someone who's actually out in the field doing the work. And then if we can help look at their resume or help give some pointers on their portfolio, things like that, we'll do it.
So you have a lot of practical advice to give people or certainly guidance as to people who could help them, really. Do you see yourself almost as a resource center for pointing people here, there, that might...
That's a good description. Yeah,
a resource center.
Yeah. Really, and we are only as strong as everything that we know about.
Right.
So this is an encouragement to the listeners. If you know a resource or you're interested in this and you have things that you can offer, let us know. So
what's your website address? Just real fast.
V as in Victor, SAO.org.
VSAO.org is everything you need to know about VSA Ohio, which is, let me read this, the State Organization on Arts and Diversity. And we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to make sure we go back and review the conference this Tuesday, beginning at what time?
Registration is open at 8.
Can you register on site? Without?
You can.
Okay.
Absolutely. You sure can. We have a couple different prices, depending on if you're a professional or just a community member.
Okay.
The keynote starts at 9. Then we go into breakout sessions. We have a great lunch panel of self-advocates who are going to talk about their adults, talking about how they're employed or involved in the arts now. More breakouts. We're going to screen a Real Abilities short film at the end of the day. All kinds of opportunities.
This is at the Columbus Museum of Art.
It is.
This Tuesday. You can register on the website in advance. Is that right?
You can go to our website to find the link. And I definitely...
VSAO.org.
That's right.
That's it. Okay. This is the second conference you've had. Is that right?
It is. There was one at Ohio State last year. And afterwards, two attendees or two staffers at the Columbus Museum of Art and said, we want to do this next year. And now and here we are. Here we are.
And the sky's the limit.
That's right.
Erin Hoppe, thank you so much for joining us today. You do a great deal for the arts and for people on all kinds of spectrums in the state of Ohio. You personally do it, as does your organization, VSA Ohio. I hope to see everybody Tuesday at the Columbus Museum of Art for the Arts and Autism Conference, VSAO.org. That's where you need to go for the information. Thanks so much, Erin Hoppe.
My pleasure.
Our producer is Michael DeBonis. Our assistant producer, Shyla Knott. The all-side interns are Walter Haupt, Jessica Shakespeare, and Shelby Powers, with video production by Rich Kartzminski and Amber Kartzminski. Alan DeCenzo is the composer of our theme music. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson, and I am Christopher Purdy, and I thank you all. Thank you, Shyla Knott, for your forbearance and your help today. Our assistant producer, thank you for listening. Good now, afternoon.